We're continuing today our series in the Ten Commandments. And we come today to, I forgot something before I talk about the Ten Commandments. If you brought an offering today, we are not passing offering plates or baskets because that's just one more, just as a safety precaution. We're trying to minimize common touched surfaces. So if you brought an offering today, Sharon Clark has a basket, and she'll be by the door as we close today, and you can just drop it into the basket. Today we come to the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And as I've been doing, I'm going to read the preamble to the Ten Commandments, Exodus 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to the commandment for today, which is verse 7. Hear now the word of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, your word is truth. Open our hearts now, open our lives by your Holy Spirit, and write your word within us, we pray, that our lives would reflect your written word, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I have an indelible memory from when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was playing croquet with one of my sisters in the backyard, and I missed a shot. And I used a phrase that I had recently picked up from some older boys on the playground. I thought I was very mature using it. I won't tell you what it was, but it rhymed. It's three syllables, and it sort of rhymes with "Dad, blame it." Okay, and I used this phrase, and my sister, of course, immediately marched into the house to report to my mother what I had said. And, of course, I had to go to my room, and I had a wooden spoon applied to my rear end, and I received the first theological lecture that I had ever heard. I heard a lot later on in my life when I was a seminary student, but this one was one of the most memorable. And my mother explained to me that we don't use that word because only God can damn a person. And then she went on to say that my father would never use that word, which I knew wasn't true. And she went on to say that my grandfather, her dad, Grandpa Lewis, would never use that word. Now, I wasn't quite sure about that. I had never heard Grandpa talk that way. And but it was a matter of months later that I was in the pasture with Grandpa and helping him do some repair on some fences in the pasture. And Grandpa had just finished something, and he stood up, and he stepped back, and he stepped right into a big, fresh, steaming pile of horse manure. And he used that word, and he consigned it to perdition, and then he used a one-syllable Old English scatological term. I felt so vindicated. Now, is that what the third commandment is talking about? Well, in part, yes. In part, yes, dear friends. And we laugh because we know we're all guilty. Sometimes there are words that come out involuntarily. It's good to remember that God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But yes, that's part of what the commandment is talking about, to take the name of the loving God who sent his Son into the world for us, and to use that as a curse word, to use that as a harming word, as a damning word. That is taking the Lord's name in vain, and a habit that godly people should avoid. Because when we take the name of God on our lips, when we take our Savior's name on our lips, let it be a blessing. Let it be a good word. Because our God is good. But it's more than that. It goes much deeper than that. From an Old Testament perspective, when God revealed his name to his people Israel, when God revealed his name to Moses at the burning bush, God was doing something very, very special. Because in Old Testament thinking, the name reflects something of the essence of a person. The name itself, and especially the name of God, even the sound of the word has vitality and power, both to bless and to curse. And when I mentioned the burning bush, it's in Exodus chapter 3, when God revealed his holy name to Moses. Moses said, what is your name? They're going to ask me, what is your name? And God said, I will tell you my name. And this is the first time in Old Testament history that God reveals his name. God never spoke this name to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. In fact, God says this in Exodus 3. I did not reveal my name to Abraham or to Isaac or to Jacob. And I think it's very telling that it's in this moment when God's people are held captive as slaves in Egypt and they are being oppressed in Egypt, and God comes to liberate them, this is when God reveals, when God comes as Savior, this is when he reveals his name. My name is Yahweh. I am, it's a present tense verb, I am that I am. And it is this name that we are not to use in vain. To Old Testament Jews, and in fact, for observant Jews right down to this day, the holy name of God is not even pronounced aloud. Even when they're reading the Bible, they'll come to that word Yahweh, and they say, Lord, Adonai. Rather than speak the name of God and take the risk of using the name in vain. Well, the key to this commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The key to this commandment is found in the meaning of the Hebrew word behind in vain. The Hebrew word is shav, and it has two layers of meaning. There's a later layer from Old Testament history, and then an earlier layer of meaning. And I'm going to treat it like an archaeological dig. We're going to take the most recent layer first and then dig down to the earlier layer of its meaning. The more recent layer, the first layer of meaning of shav, it means to empty, to treat something as if it were empty or without substance. Psalm 31:6 uses this same word to describe false idols. The psalmist says, "I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols." Worthless, shav, empty, without content. The author of 1 Samuel uses this word to describe the medium of Endor. She is sometimes called the witch of Endor. That's not an accurate translation. She was a medium. She was someone who would contact spirits. And you may remember from the story in 1 Samuel 28, King Saul wanted to contact the deceased prophet Samuel. So he went to the medium of Endor, and she summoned up the spirit of Samuel. He wasn't too happy about it, and it didn't work out well for Saul. But that's a story for another day. The main thing is that the medium of Endor was described with this word, shav, empty, hollow. So the third commandment forbids us to use the name of God as if it had no content, as if it had no weight, as if it were an empty word. Now, note carefully that this commandment, you shall not, let's look at just the first part of it, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God. This commandment is directed to those who take the name of the Lord on their lips. In other words, it's not directed to non-believers. It's to the people of God, for those who have the name of God on their lips. You shall not take it, you shall not empty it of content. God warns about any use of his name where he is apparently being honored, but without content. We really deceive ourselves, don't we? Thank God for the redeeming grace of God in which I stand, because, wow, as a pastor, and maybe this is one of the reasons pastors are going to be, those who teach will be judged more strictly. I've got the name of God on my lips all the time. And we as Christians do, don't we? This commandment warns us, don't use that name as if it had no content. I had an acquaintance. I'm going to give you an illustration. I had an acquaintance in college. I didn't know this fellow well, but I got to know him from sitting at the, I would a couple of days a week, I would sit at the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship book table in the free speech area on my college campus, and it was a way that we did witnessing with people who would come by and look at the literature we had on our book table. And there was this fellow that hung around. He was something of an expert on the United States military, particularly the Army. And he could talk weapons and tactics. He could talk on and on about Army life. He wore these faded green fatigues every day. I pressed him about it one day and discovered that he had never served a day in the military and had no intention of ever serving in the military. It was a fraud. When you got to the reality of his life, it rendered all the talk kind of empty. That's what the commandment is warning us about. You take that name on your lips, have a life that's submitted to the one that you're naming. This does not mean This doesn't mean perfection, but there's a stern warning that Jesus gave. Jesus said, and he said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven." That's a stern warning. Jesus said, not everyone who takes my name on, they'll say, "Lord, Lord." And then in Matthew 25, he teaches about the parable of the sheep and the goats, and there will be those on judgment day who say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? When did we see you naked and not clothe you?" And he's going to say, "When you saw the least of these and did nothing for them, you rejected me." I'm paraphrasing freely here. And then he's going to say, and these people who call him Lord, they saw, "Lord, when did we see you?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. Now, once again, this isn't about perfection. If this commandment required perfection, this pulpit would fall silent, as would every Christian pulpit around the world. Discipleship is a journey, and we are on a journey with Jesus. And when we confess a faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, when we come to him in faith, we begin that journey with him. And sometimes we take sidetracks and we backtrack and we get stalled. But the point is, if we take his name on our lips, let our lives reflect the journey. The warning is for those who use the name and reject the journey. You shall not misuse God's name with empty talk that is not grounded in a life of discipleship. Now, let's dig down. We're going to dig down to another layer in the archaeological dig, to the earliest layer of the meaning of the Hebrew word shav. And in this earlier layer of meaning, it refers to practices of occult magic or sorcery that was common in the ancient world. In other words, you shall not use the name of the Lord your God as a magic talisman to sorcery or occult practices always seek to manipulate spiritual forces to our ends. You say the right words, the open sesame, and things happen. So the third commandment forbids the use of God's name as if it were a magical incantation to fulfill our plans. When the television preacher tells you that if you just had enough faith and if you just prayed the right prayer, God will bless you with great wealth, and particularly if you send him a nice fat contribution, God will bless you with wealth. You've got to plant that seed, right? That is an occult use of the name of God. Shame on them. And sometimes they're more cruel. If you would just pray the right prayer and if you just had enough faith, God would heal your cancer. Shame on them. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. To treat his name as a magical incantation, as if God were a genie in a bottle and somehow bound to do our will. Okay, so those are the don't treat God's name as if it were empty, and don't treat God's name as if it were a magic incantation word. That's the negative application of the commandment. And, of course, all of the Ten Commandments are stated in the negative, thou shalt not. But in every one of them is implied a grand positive. And by the way, I'm borrowing that phrase from one of my favorite preachers, Earl Palmer. He says that behind every one of the commandments is a grand positive. So what's the positive application of this commandment? If we're not to use God's name in this way, these ways, then how are we to use the name of God? Well, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, and I really wonder if he did not have the third commandment in mind when he taught this. He said, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. But when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed. It means may your name be honored. May who you truly are be known in the world. May your character, O God, who you really are, your name, be honored and glorified and known in the world. God's name is hallowed as opposed to emptied when the people who take his name do his will on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And ultimately, we don't treat God's name as nothing because God has not treated us as nothing. God has treated us as precious. We dare not treat God as nothing because God did not send his Son into the world for nothing. Jesus did not go to the cross for nothing. Jesus did not rise from the dead for nothing. Did you know that God knows your name? Something that you'll see throughout the Bible, when God speaks to people, he always knows their name. And I don't think they were wearing name tags. When God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush, it's not, hey, you, buddy. It's Moses, Moses. When God speaks to Gideon, the angel comes, and angels always just speak the direct word of God. Hail, Gideon, mighty man of valor. And he's, When the Lord Jesus knocked the apostle Paul, he was known as Saul, knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. And when the word of the Lord speaks to Jacob and Israel, it's speaking to the people of God. Those are the names of Israel, God's people, and that's us too. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Jesus Christ did not come into the world for whom it may concern. He is not a generic Savior. When Jesus went to the cross, he had your name in his heart. Jesus died specifically for his people. He says, I have called you by name, and you are mine. God knows your name. God has called you to himself by name. And so we pray and live that his name will be hallowed in the earth. Not because we're worthy, but because he is. Pray that his name will be hallowed in your life, exalted, honored. That his name will be known in the world. In my life, in your life, in our fellowship together, may the name of God be honored. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this stern warning that you gave us, and you gave it for our protection, that we not treat your name as if it is empty, as if it were a magic word that we could use to get what we want. But, oh God, we pray that your name will be honored, hallowed in our lives, in our fellowship, in our witness to the world. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.